VOA News. I'm Christopher Cruz reporting. The United States on Thursday extended the ban on Americans' travel to North Korea for another year. It said it was too dangerous to go there. The State Department said that under U.S. law, it can impose geographic travel restrictions on Americans under any of three conditions: if a country is at war with the U.S., or there are armed hostilities in a country or region, or third, there is imminent danger to the public health or physical safety of American travelers in the country or area. The State Department used the third condition to extend the travel ban. China has responded to a bipartisan group of members of the U.S. Congress who have called on the Trump administration to impose sanctions on a high-ranking Chinese official accused of violating the rights of minority ethnic Muslims in the remote Xinjiang area. A letter from the group singles out Xinjiang's top official, who is accused by many of turning the region into a police surveillance state. Associated Press correspondent Christopher Bodine reports.
This all comes down to an ongoing crackdown on Uyghurs that involves the setting up of a massive network of internment camps where Uyghurs in the hundreds of thousands, possibly as many as a million, are being held and forced to undergo a form of political indoctrination, which includes renouncing Islam and the Uyghur culture.
In Beijing, a Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman dismissed the lawmakers' demands. The Trump administration told Russia Thursday to stop what it believes is the harassment of international shipping vessels in the Sea of Azov and the Kerch Strait. It called the alleged actions an attempt to weaken Ukraine's economy. The U.S. accused Russia of delaying commercial ships since April and stopping at least 16 commercial ships from reaching Ukrainian ports. This is VOA News. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has told the nation's president and cabinet to work, quote, day and night to solve economic problems that have put President Hassan Rouhani under unprecedented political pressure. Iran's currency hit a record low against the dollar last month as it faced the prospect of renewed U.S. financial sanctions, which began taking effect on August 7th. The United Nations has issued a stark warning about a potential catastrophic loss of life if Syrian forces, with Russian support, mount a full-scale military assault to retake Idlib province. Idlib is the last major area of Syria under control of the rebels. Correspondent Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
UN Special Envoy for Syria, Stefan de Mistura, says all these lives are at stake because there is no other Idlib. He says there is no other place where people can go.
It would be a tragic irony, frankly, if at almost the end of what we consider at the moment in front of our eyes a territorial war inside Syria, we would be witnessing the most horrific tragedy to the largest number of civilians. This would be quite tragic at this stage, having seen how difficult these 7 years have been.
De Mistura notes there are an estimated 10,000 al-Nusra and al-Qaeda terrorists in Idlib who need to be defeated. But he says their presence has to be weighed against the 2.9 million vulnerable people who live in Idlib.
Theresa May on Thursday became the first British prime minister to visit Kenya in 30 years. Correspondent Mohammed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
Theresa May is the first British leader to set foot in Kenya, a former British colony, since Margaret Thatcher in 1988. In Nairobi Thursday, May pledged to build stronger economic and trade ties with the East African nation.
So as Britain prepares to leave the European Union, we're committed to a smooth transition that ensures continuity in our trading relationship with Kenya, ensuring Kenya retains its duty-free, quota-free access to the UK market, and to building on our strong trade and investment ties to create even more opportunities for our businesses and for our consumers.
May met with President Uhuru Kenyatta at State House to discuss how the two countries can work together on issues of trade and investment, as well as building stability and fighting terrorism in East Africa.
Rebel leader Riek Machar and leaders of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance have signed a final peace deal aimed at ending the country's nearly five-year-long civil war. You can find more on these and other late-breaking and developing stories from around the world around the clock at voanews.com and on the VOA News mobile app. I'm Christopher Cruz, VOA News.